in our year by going through Lord's Day 1. A very beloved question and answer that I'm sure many of us are familiar with, if not memorized. And I would encourage you to do that because they are so meaningful. And so let's respond to this question on Lord's Day 1, the Heidelberg Catechism. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I, with body and soul, both in life and in death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood has fully satisfied for all my sins and redeemed me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my Father in heaven, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, that all things must work together for my salvation. Wherefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live unto him. How many things are necessary for you to know that in this comfort you may live and die happily? Three things. First, the greatness of my sin and misery. Second, how I am redeemed from all my sins and misery. Third, how I am to be thankful to God for such redemption. So many things about this Lord's Day that is comforting for us. But one thing I want to highlight is how all-encompassing this Lord's Day is. The word all, how many times it's used throughout this answer. What is your only comfort in life and in death? Because the effects of sin does not just affect physically our bodies, but we all know that sin goes deep into our hearts and our souls, and we feel pains that cannot be measured by science, by anything external, but it is experienced and felt nonetheless. Real pains, real sorrows. And this life is a valley of tears. But what is our only comfort in life and in death? And I wonder how many people, if nothing else, to ask your neighbors, to ask people around you, your coworkers, maybe a variation of this question, I wonder what their answer would be. Well, I'm a good person. Well, I've done enough good things. I have noble ambitions. I take care of my family. I have an honest living. All these things that they can put on their record, so to speak. But we know that doesn't go far enough to just be a good enough person, to do good things. We all know that that's only superficial. That's only superficial level of comfort. Because when death comes knocking, when the real pains come, all of that security is shattered. But this goes so deep that it touches not only our physical pain, but also more importantly, our soul pain. That all of our body, all of our soul, both in life, all the days that we live until the very day we die, doesn't belong to me. I am not my own person. I am not my own mini God that serves myself, that I have my own laws to live by. I'm the captain of my ship. No, I am not my own. But I belong, all of me, all of my body, my soul, my life, belongs to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. We have been purchased by his blood because his blood has satisfied not for some of my sins, not just for the really dark sins, but all of my sins. From birth to death, all has been covered by the blood of Jesus. And he has purchased me and redeemed me, not just from myself, but from all of the power of the devil. And not only that, not only have we been set free from our sin, from our guilt, not only have we been released from the tyranny of the devil, But we are so preserved, we are so cared for by our Heavenly Father. Not just certain parts of our life, not just the good days of our life, but all the days of our life. That our Father so preserves us that nothing can happen. Nothing can happen outside of His will. That everything, all things good, bad, and ugly, must serve. It must serve for our salvation. It must serve us for our good. Which means that there is meaning behind the sorrow and the pain that we experience. That it is not by chance or by accident, or God just forgot about you that day, or God is somehow weak. But all things works together. Not just the good parts, but all things. So we talked about the Son who redeems us. We talked about the Father who preserves us. And now we talk about the Spirit who assures us, who is with us, and makes us heartily willing, our whole being, our mind, our hearts, our souls. He restores our minds. He renews our minds, Paul says, to know what His will is, to know what pleases Him, what sets us free, that we may live and glorify Him, so that even drinking a glass of water even pleases God. It glorifies Him. It restores our relationship and our fellowship with our Heavenly Father, whom we were made for. So every aspect of our life has been redeemed, restored, and preserved for God's glory. So we'll conclude our summary of Lord's Day 1 with that.